Hello, hello everyone. GMGM. Welcome to Web3 Magic Podcast. Here I talk with builders of some of the most interesting projects across Web3 space. Interesting by the use case, not by the price of a token. So let's warm up with music and let's jump into today's episode. Hello, hello everyone. So I'm back. I'm here today with David Phelps. Hopefully I didn't butcher the name too much. Lucky me. And I met David in Istanbul. I saw his talk. It was actually pretty cool. He's working on a project, probably on many projects, but one of those he talked about was the Joke Race. And since I recently submitted my first Joke Race submission for something like a Superfluid contest, because they were the guests at the podcast before, I decided, you know, David is definitely a person to which, you know, is worth talk to. And so I'll start with the typical question, David. How did you get to crypto?
Yeah, losing a bunch of money repeated times, I think, is the classic story, and certainly mine as well. I got in 2017. I had a failed fintech company that I was trying to build for automating invoices. And the issue we're running into was credit card payments neither the clients nor the independent contractors wanted to pay credit cards on invoices. And so, you know, the professionals felt bad about adding into their client side, even if the clients would pay it, but they also don't want to cover it themselves. And, you know, this is like 2.9% or something. And so when I read about disintermediating these kind of legacy financial institutions, it clicked for me that this was going to be a much nicer way to build. And you know, to some degree, that thesis has changed and been updated, and it's in some ways the least interesting part of crypto. And credit cards are obviously using crypto immensely now. And the idea that, you know, we're going to get rid of credit card companies, I think today sounds a little naive. At the same time, with what I'm building right now, I do think building in consumer crypto, it's such a boring thing to say, but it can't be stated enough that to build without incurring app store fees or credit card fees is a massive unlock for builders, especially when margins can be quite tight. You know, Roblox has like lost money for years. They would be fully profitable if not for paying the app store fees. And you imagine Roblox is basically built like a decentralized, you know, economy internally. Somewhat centralized economy, but they have built an entire internet economy natively to their game that loses money because of app store fees. And if they've spent that on crypto, they would not. They'd be making money right now. I think it's still a huge unlock for the space, and still one that probably doesn't really get talked about quite enough.
All right. That's actually very true what you were saying. The typical problems, not only the fees, but, you know, the distribution.
So yep.
Someone has to do it. And then typically someone wants to get paid for it, which I like the phrase from, I think it was, I heard it from Dan Romero from Farcaster, like dream.
Yeah.
Distribution is all I dream about. it definitely is a thing. But let's get back to your current project. So how did you get the idea from fintech to Joke Race?
Yeah.
I actually see a big gap, not totally different, but...
Yeah. So there's a lot of other, you know, stories and narratives there, and coming up through talent communities and DAO space and thinking about how you can create collective communities that can monetize and work together. On chain, building on chain reputation, being able to execute decisions on chain, all of these. But to go to the point, I think what we're building as in some ways a fintech product. Joke Race is built entirely on the financial rails of blockchains. It's fully on chain. And when you build entirely on the financial rails of blockchains, a lot of things happen, right? One is that you think about internet native contests. Like what does it look like for anybody to be able to have a contest? That's not something you could do if you were not building on blockchain rails. And that really can't be said enough, right? That there are all of these hackathon platforms and grant platforms that have been built in Web2, and they have no way to distribute the money automatically to winners. It can't happen. The, you know, they would have to create escrow accounts and put those up and then have legal documents signed for them in order to pay out. No one has a SaaS solution for that that has been built. And when you do it with smart contracts, it's very easy, right? So even just being able to build contests where people can win money, that's a finance product. And that is one that can really only be done on blockchain Rails. But then you start thinking, well, you can also monetize all these other pieces of it, right? You can let contest creators make money from all the actions that people are performing within this product as well. And it's worth their while to do this because they can win big rewards as well, right? Potentially. So that's where it gets really exciting to think building directly on financial rails is effectively taking what traditionally we think of as non-financial products. And we have that division, right? Well, this is not a finance product. This is a consumer app. This is a gaming platform. This is a contest platform. But the beauty of crypto is it lets you monetize at every step of the way. And so everything becomes a finance product in some ways. And I think that's true for us as well. I think what we're building is very much a finance product.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So where is Jokeris now in the journey? Is it like real beginning, or because I was super surprised when I checked all the networks where you can kind of create the contest. It was impressive list.
Yep. That's the easy part. Yeah. It takes us about 2 minutes to add new networks. The way that we've built it is as a no code smart contract deployment tool. So you're actually, when you're creating a contest, you're deploying a smart contract to whatever chain you're connected to in your wallet. So all we have to do is let you connect to your chain. That was my co-founder's, Sean's, I think, really beautiful vision that we can be, it's really easy to build for multi-chain world. And that's what we've done. I always think about whatever I'm building at the very beginning, because all I can think about is all the things that I want to build ahead. The project in different forms has been around for about a year and a half. But in my mind, it's at the very, very beginning. We launched the V3, which is really, I would say, the first fully scalable, usable product in late summer. It's only been around about 4 months or so. Since then, we've gotten a lot of big name users, like Aragon and Arbitrum and Eigenlayer, et cetera. But I still think a lot of the really exciting stuff is ahead of us that we'll be building over the next year.
So I've noticed, there are some contests are running, so it's not the total beginning. But I assume, there are some big stuff coming. So is there anything which, you can say you guys plan to do and it's really cool and people should be looking out for it?
Yeah. Yeah. Polygon just announced they're going to be running grants through us. I think that's a really great use case with us and Giveth. They'll be doing a campaign next month. And so that's, I think, just, great kind of legitimacy to see that they're going to be putting quite a lot of Matic into this. I think it's like, I might be getting it wrong, something like 147,000. And so just being able to see that use case is fully viable, and that we're a good way to run grants on chain, I think is, that's nice to see. I'm really personally excited by a lot of use cases that would be creator focused. I think that we're increasingly a very good tool for creators to be able to monetize their communities. And so I have a lot of dreams of contests that have not been done, stuff where people could pick their favorite prompt and then that's fed into AI and it creates 10K images based off that prompt and you have an NFT collection. Projects where people submit different, potential creatures and then everyone votes on them. And if you voted on something, you get to collect it. Stuff like that. Stuff where the voting is not just about determining the winner, but, distributing points across different, systems. A lot of that, I think, is really exciting for me. Remix contests, someone putting out a track and then going to their community to remix it. And then the best one gets minted or, sold with joint royalties as well. A lot of kind of co-creation, I think, is where a lot of my mind goes and a lot of what I'm personally excited by. I think there's a lot of businesses that can be built on us, and I'm excited to see that happen. I think you can build a hackathon company on us. You can build a decentralized product hunt on us. You can build game shows on us, right? Where American Idol, has new contestants competing against each other, and then thousands of token holders at home are all voting. And they're live streaming it every week and they're voting on their favorite one. And there's maybe ways for them to win rewards as well. that that can be built on us too, right? Anybody who wants to build a citizens journalism platform where you you want to put out a bounty to get information about something, you can decentralize that and you can actually start, you know, sourcing a lot of information and data from citizens rather than just relying on who a journalist happens to know. All of those sorts of things can be built on top of us. And so I'm really excited to see that happen. And then in terms of what we're actually building, I think, you know, a lot of the focus next year is going to be towards making it easier to deploy contests with permissions so that you can easily allow less people to submit and vote without uploading a full CSV. Really focusing on, we already started to do that so that NFT communities, you can just drop a token address and it will allow less you to vote. Thinking about stuff like that, thinking about stuff like more monetization opportunities at every step of the way for creators to be able to monetize is going to be a big focus for us as well. Thinking about some of the UX things that can be done just to make it, you know, easier to participate without a lot of the wallet complexity is something we're thinking about. We'll see what happens. And then thinking a lot about social, like how can you increase notifications, you know, potential email lists or you know, just being able to reach out to other people playing in a contest. So none of that, none of that's on the roadmap exactly, but those are all the things we're definitely thinking about long-term.
Cool, cool. Yeah, I think, you know, it's actually more interesting to hear what you guys are thinking about than what's exactly on a roadmap. Our roadmaps change and
A lot.
They're kind of old school. And yeah, I'm glad you touched on communities and NFTs because, you know, it's one of the my bubbles where one of the three where people are kind of excited. But I think most of them would never heard of Joke Race till now. So it's a good one.
Just wait.
Is there? So are you? I remember from your talk that you basically said, you know, because you guys are on chain, you're kind of a platform. But do you think about yourself as a platform, or you guys think about, you know, being a killer app for, you know, something?
I wrote a piece a couple months ago on what I call proto apps, which I think of as like protocol apps. So a protocol app is really an app that anyone can then build on top of. And because it's on chain and you have composability, when people use this app, it can then trigger an action on these other kind of plugins that people can build. So it's basically saying that blockchains are like a permissionless plugin environment for anybody to build plugins on top. ChatGPT, I think, which is not a blockchain product, actually shows you a lot of what can be really cool, right, with all these plugins that are built in. I think that the really good examples within crypto are Uniswap and Eigenlayer. Like Uniswap has hooks that people are able to build that can then perform functions. And so they're going to let their, you know, their community build these hooks.
Right.
People can build hooks that will personally monetize, but every time they're doing that, they're reinforcing Uniswap's core value because now it has all these other services that can be built on top of it that it can deploy to. Eigenlayer, I think, is kind of similar, where in being able to take ETH and let you restake it to other services, it's effectively a plug-in ecosystem for anybody to be able to build, you know, put a protocol on top, plug into Eigenlayer, get the economic security, right? And then increase Eigenlayer's core value because there's now more products on the front end that it can plug into as well. And so thinking about this real unlock for blockchains is like, almost like open source APIs, meaning that anyone can build these permissionless plugins on top, I think is really important for any app builder right now. And I think that's especially true for us. Like what's really, really fun to think about with what we're building is that if this was Web2, not only would you not be able to offer money or, you know, financial rewards, but it would just be a platform. There wouldn't be, you know, it'd be a way for people to have contests and they would win the contest and then that would be the end of it. What's cool with Web3 is that anyone can build on top of us so that when someone wins a contest, an action is then executed on another service, right? So I'll give you an example, which is Hats has already built a module on top of us. Hats does role-based NFTs. So if you had a contest that said, hey, who should be treasurer of our organization, you can plug that contest into Hats, and whoever wins that will get an NFT that makes them treasurer of the organization and gives them full rights to whatever that includes within that organization as well. And so they were able to build that fully permissionlessly on top of us so that you can now have elections that deploy on other services like Hats, right? You can imagine if someone wanted to, they could build an NFT minting module on top of us. So the winner of an art contest is automatically minted as an NFT on any other service, right? And that means that we're supporting those services because we're, you know, effectively being a decision layer that then executes across over to them. And so we're empowering them, but they're also making our value proposition a lot richer too, because now there's more things you can do with us, right, as well. And so really thinking about ourselves as a protocol, I think is like really, really important to think there's all sorts, any service can basically build on top of us as well. And so a lot of, you know, the pitch I've made so far is, well, businesses can be built on top of us and users can come and they can win rewards and they can build reputation and they can find other people to play contests with and they can develop, you know, a social graph. But there is this other piece that I think is really, really the ultimate unlock, and that's the executability. It's the idea that the result of a contest can trigger an action on another service, and it's just not something that ever could have been done in Web2.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Yeah. Right. So, you know, there is the thing. So I spoke recently to several people who were, I would say, you know, close to your situation.
closest
would be Bruno from Remark. So they built, you know, they actually worked on the new ERCs for NFTs, like, you know, yep, nestable and equipable or whatever. It's kind of seems, you know, it's like a chicken and egg problem, right? So in Web2, it was simple because you were either a platform or you were an app.
Yep.
And you kind of had to choose right at the beginning, and you just, you know, build the business that way. Here it seems, you know, it's kind of harder because obviously, you know, you can only spend that much time, which, you know, you have, your team has, money, of course, also, yep, to push forward one of the narratives, and the other one is kind of like the secondary.
Yep.
And it's, I guess, everybody's choice because, you know, in many ways, I think everybody would love to be a protocol or a, yep, platform on top of which anyone else can build.
Mm-hmm.
The issue with that is, you know, that the attention of people is finite.
For sure.
The number of projects is huge. And also, I guess, you know, the imagination is really wild, but only once you get to know something.
Yep.
So, you know, if I know how Joke Race works, and, you know, I can definitely imagine a lot of possible use cases for myself.
Right.
But until I get to know you, it's difficult.
And that's why executability is not the focus right now, right? Like, right, you know, it is one of those things where we have a fully successful company without it. You know, we can build really effectively, but we also, if we do get a successful company without it, then that makes the value proposition for executability much greater as well. Right. It provides a lot, yeah, more incentive for people to come and build on top of us too. And it unlocks us to a great degree as well. And so I do see that as like a kind of ultimate vision. The sooner it happens, the better, you know, the more people that want to do it. It's permissionless. They don't need our support. They don't need our help. They can do that all on their own. But I do see it very much as like a, you know, it's really the ultimate vision for what we're.
So anything else you would like to, like, you know,
I shilled more than that.
Okay, very cool. So basically, you know, everybody will go and check.
Now you got to check daily, you know, see what contests are out there. Yeah,
I have to dream up some contests for the podcast.
Yeah.
So it will make total sense.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, we have some podcasts using us to determine what guests they have on their show. And they let
their. Oh, really? Okay. I have to check it.
Yeah. Rehash has been wonderful. Really good with this, and there's been a couple others too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure. Yeah, they're good. The DAO.
Exactly.
It's actually a neat idea. Okay. Any last words? Because I know you need to run.
No last words. No, these are all first words and subject to change.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, David. Thanks for making the time.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And that was it for today. I hope you enjoyed the conversation. If you want to connect with my guest, or if you're interested in some of the points that were discussed today, just check the show notes for links. And don't forget to subscribe for future episodes. Also, if you are compelled, please leave a review. It helps others to find the podcast, and you can surely share it with your friends to save them the trouble of discovery process. I definitely hope you would do that for me. One more thing, from January 2024, there is an option for the interested collectors to mint the episode, or just the episode's art, which is always uniquely created by me for each guest and project. so go check the show notes to find out more. Until next time, keep it colorful and stay positive, friends. Ciao.